2014 was a big year for Washington State. Voters said yes to gun background checks. Our governor put a moratorium on the death penalty, and the state Supreme Court threatened sanctions if the legislature doesn't pour billions more dollars into basic education. Our Olympia correspondent, Austin Jenkins, has had a front row seat to all the action in the state capitol. He told Jeannie Yandel, when voters acted on guns, the legislature took a sigh of relief.
You know, guns is a tough issue for lawmakers. The NRA is a powerful lobby in this state. There are a lot of lawmakers who just don't want to go down this path. And so what you have now is they're off the hook, except that we know that both sides are going to be back here still asking them to engage on this issue, either to start to repeal or roll back some of this measure or to go even further.
Right. And recently, several hundred gun rights activists were in Olympia rallying to protest this new law to get legislators to start thinking about rolling something back.
We stand here on this field exercising our First Amendment right, to exercise our Second Amendment right, to exercise all of our rights, to demand that government comply with absolute law that we, the people, placed upon them, and we stand for peace and liberty.
So what's next for gun rights advocates at the state legislature?
Well, and that was Gavin Syme who organized this I Will Not Comply rally.
Right.
He'd like to see a repeal of this. We know that there is likely to be a bill introduced to repeal 594. Keep in mind, it takes a two-thirds vote within the first 2 years of an initiative passing to change it or alter it. Not likely to muster those kinds of votes. So there will be, you know, some push to push back on this. And we also know that the NRA in particular is very concerned about this notion of a registry, the idea that the State Department of Licensing essentially is keeping a list of gun purchases. Again, I think that you're going to find lawmakers sort of betwixt and between, as they have been historically, reluctant to engage on this. And I see proposals being introduced, hearings perhaps happening, but much beyond that, getting bills actually to the floor, especially given all the other things that are going on, I just don't see the gun issue really on the table this year.
I wanted to revisit a big story from earlier this year. That was when Governor Inslee made national headlines after making this announcement.
If a death penalty case comes to my desk for action, I will issue a reprieve.
How was that announcement from the governor received in Olympia?
Well, and this was essentially the governor saying that he was creating a de facto moratorium on executions in this state. It was a big announcement, and it came as sort of a surprise. There wasn't a lot of lead up to it, but he had been working on this issue and thinking about it and having his staff work on it for some number of months. It was obviously very well received by opponents of the death penalty, who for years have been trying to repeal the death penalty in Washington state. Bills do get introduced almost annually on this topic. For supporters of the death penalty, and in particular for family members of victims whose killers are on death row, this was very difficult news. In the hours after this announcement, spoke with Frank Holden, whose 12-year-old daughter was bludgeoned to death. Her killer was thought to be perhaps next in line to be executed in Washington state. Here's what he told me on that same day that the governor made his announcement.
Well, I think his decision has prolonged my agony, not shortened it. It's reopened up a lot of wounds.
So his reaction, and he had actually gotten a courtesy call from the governor, but it did not salve the wound that he was feeling. That said, what's happened in the intervening months, and I checked in with the governor's office, is that apparently no death warrants have been issued. So this has not come across the governor's desk. He has not been in a position yet to issue a reprieve. What the governor said at the time, though, is he wanted to spark a conversation in the state about the future of the death penalty. Has there been a big conversation that we've all heard? Probably not. But the governor's staff believes that behind the scenes, there are a lot of people, especially watching what's happened nationally with botched executions and whatnot, that there is momentum behind perhaps a relook at whether Washington wants to be in the death penalty business.
I'm talking with KUOW's Olympia correspondent, Austin Jenkins. He's in our Olympia bureau right now. We've talked about the death penalty. We've talked about guns, two big stories from 2014. But The big question that's facing our state legislature here is how will the state fund education? We've actually heard from a couple of legislators who have joked that education won't be the only thing that they talk about in this upcoming legislative session. So for background, the state Supreme Court says lawmakers must make some progress on this next year. Here's attorney Tom Ahern, who represents the plaintiffs in the McCleary case.
The court itself said, state, you promised us you're going to be doing this in 2015. We're taking your promise. We're taking you at your word. And if you don't, we will impose sanctions. Not, we'll think about it. We will.
So the state has one more year to deal with this, essentially. What happens to the state legislature if they don't do this, if they don't meet this mandate?
Go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Let me just say, I bet the justices are really hoping that this isn't tested, because once they start issuing sanctions, and the menu of options isn't that great. I mean, are they going to start to prescribe exactly how the legislature budgets and basically say you can't spend on non-education items? You know, there's just... It's the judicial branch. There's not that much besides jail that is easy to do that doesn't sort of have a chain reaction effect. And my hunch is that the legislature will do just enough so that the court feels like, without losing face, it doesn't have to sanction them.
I must say, you paint a potentially catastrophic picture. But the legislature has another big education question they have to tackle, an initiative that voters approved last election. And that initiative reduces class sizes in the state of Washington. Democrat Ross Hunter says that's going to be a challenge.
Look, I don't know how to pay for it. That's why I didn't support it.
So how much will education define what lawmakers do next year?
I think it's really going to be all governors run on an education agenda and say that they're going to be the education governor. And that's obviously what state legislators talk about on the campaign trail. But I think it's fair to say 2015 really will be a legislative session that is much about education. And it's just this sort of confluence of issues. Specific to that class size measure, it's also being made very clear that there is not an extra $2 billion to fund it. It's an unfunded mandate. And so the governor in his proposed budget essentially doesn't propose to fund it. And there's talk that this measure will have to be amended if they're not going to fund it. Again, that would take a two-thirds vote. So the class size measure set aside for a moment, there's still a lot to do in education. It's going to take up a lot of time. And there's a lot of there's going to be that tension between funding and reform, if you will. That still hasn't been worked out. If you're going to give more money to the system, what do you expect in return? In terms of the catastrophic sort of end game that you described, that would probably be a constitutional crisis. Hopefully that will be avoided, but there is tension between those branches. There's tensions between the Democrats and the Republicans and the legislature over education. It really is going to be where the action is this coming session.
And that legislative session starts in 2 weeks, starting on January 12th. Austin Jenkins is KUOW's Olympia correspondent. He spoke with Jeannie Yandel, who'll be with us Mondays throughout the legislative session.